cornerstone of sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Well, what about it? Human computer chip. A Florida technology company is poised to ask the government to market a first ever computer chip that could be embedded beneath a person's skin. Now, of course, since this report came out, it has already been done in Florida. For airports, nuclear power plants, and other high security facilities, the immediate benefits would be a closer to foolproof security system. But privacy advocates warn the chip could lead to encroachments on civil liberties. The implant technology is another case of science fiction. Yeah, it's science friction, all right. Yeah, it's science fiction evolving into fact. Those have long advanced the idea of implant chips say it could someday mean no easy to counterfeit ID cards, nor dozing security guards. And just a computer chip about the size of a grain of rice that would be difficult to remove and tough to mimic. Other possible uses of the technology from an added device that would allow satellite tracking of an individual every moment to the storage of sensitive data like medical records are already attracting interest across the globe for tasks like foiling kidnappings or assisting paramedics. What do you think about that? Applied Digital Solutions, new VeriChip, is another sign that September 11th has advanced the science of security into a realm of uncharted possibilities and also new fears for privacy. The problem is that you always have to think about the device will be used for tomorrow, said Lee Tan, a senior attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, a privacy advocate group. It's what we call function creep. At first, a device is used for applications we all agree are good, but then it slowly is used for more than it was intended. he added. Those who specialize in ethics wonder who will be able to access the data. Can people be monitored? From how far? How about the right to privacy? Could it even become mandatory, like a shot of vaccination shot? The first concern is that it will fall into the hands of an evil and an oppressive state. I can assure you that's positively true. So it is said by this Zoloff, a bioethics specialist from San Francisco. If you're thoroughly known, then you can thoroughly be controlled, because they'll know more about you than you want to be known. Applied Digital, based there in Palm Beach, Florida, said it will soon begin the process of getting the Food and Drug Administration approval for the device, and intends to limit marketing to companies that ensure its human use is voluntary. The line is in the sand, is that the use of the Vera chip would always be voluntary, said Keith Bolton, Chief Technology Officer and Vice President of Applied Digital. We would never provide to a company that intended to coerce people to use it. Well, maybe you wouldn't, but all it has to do is get into the hands of, let's say, somebody like Saddam Hussein, or somebody like Arafat, or somebody who hates Israel, hates America, hates the Jews, hates the God of Abraham. And, you know, this kind of thing is obviously going to be used by the devil. More than a decade ago, Applied bought a competing firm, Destron Fearing, which had been making chips and implanting animals for several years. Those chips were mainly bought by animal owners wanting to provide another way for pound workers to identify a lost pet. Chips for humans aren't that much different, but the company was hesitant to market them for people because of ethical questions. The devastation of September 11th solidified the company's resolve to market the human chip and brought about a new sensibility. I might say I changed the sensibility to insanity here. About the possible interest. It's a sad time when people have to wonder whether it's safe in their own country, said Bolton. The makers of the chip also foresee it being used to help emergency workers diagnose a lost Alzheimer's patient or access an unconscious patient's medical history. Getting an implant would go something like this. A person or company buys a chip from Applied Digital for about $200, and the company encodes it with the desired information. Hopefully, the information is accurate, which many times it is not, even with technology we have today. They go on to say, the person seeking the implant takes the tiny device to their doctor, who can insert it with a large needle device. The doctor monitors the device for several weeks to make sure it doesn't move and no infection develops. The device has no power supply. Rather, it contains a millimeter-long magnetic coil that is activated when a scanning device is run across the skin above it. A tiny transmitter on the chip sends out the data. Without a scanner, the chip cannot be read. Applied Digital plans to give away chip readers to hospitals and ambulance companies in hopes they'll begin standard equipment. Even if the privacy and so-called religious concerns are satisfied, it didn't stop them. Some are already eager to use the product. The Jeff Jacobs family, Coral Springs, Florida, have contacted the company in hopes of being the first family ever implanted with the chip. Quote, they said, we definitely wholeheartedly believe that this technology will change the world, said Leslie Jacobs. She, her husband Jeff, and their 14-year-old son Derek feel, quote, they're doing something for mankind. Jeff is quoted as saying, I feel like I'm going with the flow of nature and doing exactly what we're here to do to improve the problems of the world. Well, I got news for you, dear folks. No offense to you, but you're not helping to improve the world. All you're helping is to set up the Antichrist movement and to create technology that will be used by the Antichrist one world system to make sure everybody gets the mark of the beast. Even though some would say, well, this is not the mark. Well, we know what the mark is. We know what the Bible says about the mark. Now, can you imagine that it will be a requirement to have these chips implanted in order to get Medicare? It will infringe upon the rights of the elderly, no doubt. How about getting Social Security? And how about a myriad of other governmental handouts and provisions that, of course, our tax-paying wallets have donated to over the years, now will be used to control us and control what we do and perhaps even control what we think. Now, I'm not too concerned about it myself personally, because by the time all this comes to fruition for the Antichrist to use, I'm out of here, son. That's right, I'm out of here. I'm going to be taken out of this mess in the rapture. Hallelujah. That's right, I'll be taken out of here in the rapture, dead or alive. I mean, my body will be out of here if I'm dead. But if I'm alive, my body and my spirit and soul will be raptured all at the same time. But if I die before the rapture, I'll just be waiting for the rapture when my body will be glorified and will meet up with my spirit. So I'm not even worried about any of this stuff. Doesn't the Bible tell us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," in other words, those that are dead, "that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," and may I say we do, those who have trusted him as their Lord and Savior, as the Messiah, "even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Doesn't sound like purgatory is going to happen here, does it? No. If you're saved and born again, there's no such thing as purgatory. We'll be raptured. We'll be taken out of this mess. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others." And this is referring to this complacency today that we see out there, this laziness we see out there. "But let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do." So, beloved, the Bible says that God has not appointed us to wrath. For those that are saved, born again, And that is why we will be taken out of this mess. Now, there's a lot of misteaching about some of this prophetic end times doctrine. I would say this is false teaching. This is false doctrine. Some are actually saying that we are in the tribulation right now. Some are actually saying that the church will be taken out of here during the middle of the tribulation or right before the end of the tribulation. And some are saying we are right now in the kingdom time. I mean, there's so much confusion out there. What is the truth, by the way? Let me just confirm that Jesus is not the author of confusion. And there is a correct understanding of the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Folks, even Paul, some 2,000 years ago, believed that the Lord's coming, that his appearance to the saints was imminent. Imminent. That means it could happen at any moment. And that is why in Titus, he said to Titus, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Looking. Hey, I'm looking. Are you looking? Well, if you're sleeping and complacent and not watching, then you're not looking. But I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. I know he's going to appear to the saints first. And I'm looking for him. It's imminent. You start putting a timetable when the Lord comes. Or if you have the gall, the nerve, to say that we are actually in the tribulation period, or you start giving timetables of when it's all going to happen, I'm telling you that you are out of touch with the Bible. Because he said, the day of Christ is at hand. Well, that's as if it was going to happen in his lifetime. Well, we know it didn't. But it is as if it would to us happen at any moment. Imminency is the key to understanding the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and understanding the pre-tribulation, pre-millennial return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pre-tribulation rapture, pre-millennial return. He goes on to say in verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means." And we got a lot of means of those who are trying to deceive us. "For that day shall not come." Here is the condition for the coming, except there come a falling away first. Well, we see that happening right now, don't we? We see the falling away of the faith. We see they're falling away by the droves, by the thousands. We see the ecumenical movement, the yoking up of all the denominations under one umbrella. We see that happening right before our eyes. We see the departure from orthodoxy, from the fundamentals of the faith. We see a departure of the doctrines of the faith, the council that was taught, the contending for the faith wants to live with the saints. We see the departure of that. "For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed." So that man of sin, the son of perdition, must be revealed. The Antichrist will have to be revealed. And when he does, hey, folks, if you're saved, born again, been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, received the free gift, pardon of sin, received eternal life, both Jew and Gentile, I say to you that if you're alive during the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first aspect of the second coming of the Lord, you will be taken out of this world. And then we have the falling away. And the man of sin will be revealed, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Why not? He's following the footsteps of his father, the devil, who did the same thing there, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Listen to the pride of the old devil, the serpent, the dragon. Listen to the author of sin. Listen about this same attitude, this same pride, which will be in the Antichrist, who will be lifted up. Where did he get it from? He got it from his father. If you're a proud person, you got it from the devil. In Isaiah chapter 14, and the Bible says, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Because they are referring to the devil. Thy pump is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread unto thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, which is another name of the devil, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's the pride of the devil there, folks. Thought he knew more than God. Yet thou shalt be brought down the hill to the sides of the pit. How about that? Well, that's what happens to everybody that has a prideful attitude like the devil and thinks he knows more than God and thinks he can figure out his own way of getting to heaven, like when they built the Tower of Babel, you know. But the Bible says that the Antichrist will have the same attitude, and he will make up that false triune of the tribulation period, because that triune, that false triune, the false prophet and the beast and Antichrist will try to counterfeit the triune God, who is the Heavenly Father, the Son of God, and the Holy Ghost, which is clearly taught in even the Tanakh, the Old Testament. And so again, the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that as that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Because we know he's not God, but he's going to manifest himself as though there will be those who think he is, and they will be deceived. Remember, ye not, that when I was yet with you, Paul saying, by inspiration of God, I told you these things. And now you know that. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. Well, that's the Holy Ghost. He's the one that's controlling everything. He's the one that's letting what happens and not letting that which he does not want to happen. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. When the Holy Ghost is taken out of the way, folks, is when we get raptured out of this mess. And then shall the wicked be revealed. That wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Man, if I haven't seen that today, I don't know when I've seen it. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Well, don't tell me that God sends anybody to hell. Hey, you don't send anybody to hell without that person having a chance to be saved. They could have been saved, but they rejected the truth. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Folks, you're here to get today under the sound of my voice. If you knowingly reject the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, whether you are a pagan, a Muslim, or whoever you are, the Bible says that if you enter into what is called the tribulation period, you will receive the mark of the beast. And it will be too late for you. And all of this so-called, falsely sound so-called, of the mark and the chips and all of that is about ready to happen. I tell you what. Revelation chapter 13, verse 15 says, and he hath power to give life unto the image of the beast, You think about the robots we have today, almost could do almost everything we want them to do. I mean, they can put cars together, and they can even cook for us. How about that? That the image of the beast should both speak? Well, don't they use machines now to speak? Don't we have this voice activation in almost all the critical technology of today? And the Bible goes on to say, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. How are they going to know who's going to worship or not? Could it be that the chips that have been implanted will be able to be triggered when we do not bow down and worship? And the mark of the beast will be given to those who reject the Messiah today. Revelation chapter 13, verse 16, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. There's no discrimination. The Antichrist is not a racist when it comes to giving his mark, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, the mark is not necessarily a computer chip or anything like that. It is a mark. It is an identifying mark. But all this chip stuff going on and all this identification stuff going on are just mechanics of that which will allow the devil, the Antichrist incarnate, well, the devil incarnate in the Antichrist, to be able to manipulate. And where it says here in verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell. So all of this technology will work hand in glove with the mark, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So there it is. He either will have the mark, or he'll have the name, or he'll have a number. Well, I hope that you will receive the Lord before that time comes. That which was considered a fairy tale, a myth, a dream, that which was far in the future, a bizarre speculation, is now coming to fruition in technology of today. Are you ready? Are you prepared to meet thy God? Now please do not turn your dial. And we got some more incredible broadcasting coming to you in just a moment. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee earth, O Lord God of Israel.
Charlie Colson, the drummer boy. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. I'm so glad that you're with us now, and we're going to continue reading about this great story of a Christian hero, a Bible-believing Christian hero of the American War, with a brief sketch of the author's conversion, or from the synagogue to the cross. Dr. M.L. Rosfeli, a Jewish surgeon in the United States Army. And to just have a brief review of what has transpired, remember that this Jewish surgeon had to amputate Charlie's leg and arm. And through all that experience, God touched his heart in a mighty way through the faith of that young boy, that drummer boy, who displayed incredible trust and faith in his Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. As a result of that, that had a great impact upon the Jewish doctor's life. And for years, he never forgot it. Of the many hundreds of soldiers that he had amputated legs from, that one experience with Charlie Colson never left his mind. 10 years had gone by, and God dealt with him in a mighty way. And God had sent him other witnesses to testify of the wonderful grace of Almighty God to this Jewish surgeon. And so we find ourselves where God has committed his heart over sin, and he receives the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. Now he has to tell his wife. And I want you to pay close attention as, number one, how he deals with the problem, and number two, what happens afterwards. Now, the Jewish surgeon says, I arose from my knees, and in my newfound happiness, thought that my dear wife would at once share my joy when I told her of the great change which had come over to me. With that thought uppermost in my mind, I rushed out of my study into the bedroom, for my wife had retired to rest, although the light had not been turned off. I threw my arms around her neck, began to kiss her eagerly, saying, Wife, I have found the Messiah! She looked annoyed and, pushing me from her, coldly asked, Found who? Jesus Christ, my Messiah and Savior, was my reply. She spoke not another word, but in less than 15 minutes was dressed, and had left the house. Although it was then 2 a.m. and bitterly cold, I went across the street to the house of her parents, who lived immediately opposite. I did not follow her, but dropped on my knees, imploring my newly found Savior that my wife might also have her eyes open as I had, and afterwards went to sleep. On the following morning, my poor wife was told by her parents that if she ever called me husband again, she would be disinherited, excommunicated from the synagogue, and accursed. At the same time, my 2 children were sent for by their grandparents and told that they must never call me father again. Oh my, that I was worshiping Jesus the impostor was fully as bad as he was. Oh, that the inveterate hatred of the human heart to the gospel of God. Well, might the converted Hebrew of the Hebrews who wrote the epistle to the Romans declare, both Jew and Gentile, they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 5 days after my conversion, I received orders from the Surgeon General at Washington to proceed west on government business. I tried all the means in my power to communicate personally with my wife and to bid her goodbye, but she would neither see me nor write to me. She, however, sent me a message by a neighbor to the effect that so long as I called Jesus Christ my Savior, I should not call her my wife, for she would not live with me. I did not expect to receive such a message from my wife, for I loved her and my children dearly, and it was with a sad heart, therefore, I left home and that morning to travel 1,300 miles to my sphere of duty without being able to see either my wife or children. For 54 days, my wife would not answer any of my letters, although I wrote her one daily, and with every letter sent, I prayed that God would incline her heart to read at least one of them. I felt that if she would but read one of my letters, for Christ was preached and the joy I was experiencing in my soul was told forth in every one of them, she would reconsider that she had said and done before I left home. Never in my experience were Cowper's lines so signally fulfilled. God moves in mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. For it was through the disobedience of my daughter that my wife was converted. My daughter was the youngest of our 2 children. She was generally considered her father's pet. After my conversion to Christ, a sense of duty to her mother on the one hand and her love to her father on the other kept her mind in continual agitation. On the 53rd night, she dreamt she saw her father die. A fear came over her, and she made up her mind that come what would, she would not destroy the next letter in her father's handwriting. The following morning, she waited for the postman at the door. As he handed the letters to her, she looked her father's letter. She took her father's letter quickly, slipped it into her bosom, ran upstairs into her room, locked the door, and opened the letter. She began to read it, and then read it 3 times before she laid it down. That letter made her sad at heart to such an extent that when she went downstairs, her mother saw her. She had been crying and asked her the cause of her grief. Mother, if I tell you, you will be offended. But if you promise me not to be grieved, I will tell you all about it. What is it, my child? Said her mother. Taking out my letter from under her dress, she told her mother her dream of the night previous and added, I have opened my papa's letter this morning, and now I cannot and will not believe what my grandpa and grandma or anybody else says about my papa being a bad man. For a bad man could not write such a letter to this to his wife and children. I beg of you to read this, mother, she added, as she handed to her the letter. My wife took the letter, carried it into the next room, and locked it in her desk. That afternoon, she locked herself in her room, and opening the desk, took my letter and began to read it. The more she read, the worse she felt. She afterwards told me she read it through 5 times before she finally let it down. After the last reading of the letter, my wife returned it to the desk and went back to the room she had just left. Her eyes were full of tears. And now it was my daughter's turn to ask, "Mother, why are you crying?" "Child, my heart aches," was the reply. "I wish to lie down on the lounge." She did so. The servant made her a cup of tea, thinking that was all that was needed to take away the heartache of which she complained. There are many cases, doubtless, in which a cup of tea may possibly be a benefit, but it brought no relief to my poor wife. After a while, my wife's mother came across the street to our house, thinking my wife to be very ill. She administered some simple home remedies, as mothers frequently do. This also failed to give any relief. At 7:30 in the evening, my mother-in-law sent for Dr. D. He came at once and prescribed for her, but his medicine likewise failed to remove the heartache of which my wife complained. My mother-in-law stayed at our house that night, attending to my wife until 11:15. I heard my wife say afterwards that the desire of her heart was that her mother should leave the room, for she had fully made up her mind to go on her knees, as I had previously done. As soon as her mother had gone, no sooner, therefore, had she left our house than my wife locked the door and fell on her knees by the side of her bed, and in less than 2 minutes, Christ, the great physician, met her, healed her, and saved her. Glory! Hallelujah! I guarantee you one thing, this was no, repeat after me, easy believism. This was conviction of sin. This was repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Like her husband, the moment she came to an end of human effort, worldly wisdom and vain tradition, and surrendered herself, body, soul, and spirit to God, she found the Holy Spirit ready to open her blind eyes to turn her from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Acts 26, verse 18. The moment she was enabled to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, she could say with Philip of old, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus Nazareth, the son of Joseph," and add with Nathanael, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." On the following morning, I received a telegram worded as follows, "Dear husband, come home at once. I thought you were in the wrong and I was in the right, but I have found that you were in the right and I in the wrong. Your Christ is my Messiah. Your Jesus, my Savior. Last night at 11:19, while on my knees for the first time in my life, the Lord Jesus saved my soul." After reading the telegram, I felt for a moment as if I did not care 1 cent for the government under which I served. I left my business unfinished, took the first express train, and started for Washington, my house at that time being well known there, especially amongst the Jews, for I had frequently sung in the synagogue. I did not wish to create a sensation, and so I telegraphed to my wife not to meet me at the station, for I would take a carriage on my arrival at Washington and drive quietly home. When I got to the front of my home, I saw my wife standing at the open door expecting me. Her face beamed with joy. She ran to meet me as I stepped out of the carriage and threw her arms around my neck and kissed me. Her father and mother were also standing at their open door across the street. And when they saw us in each other's arms, they began to curse both me and my wife. 10 days after my wife had received the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior, my daughter was converted. She is now the wife of a Christian and a co-worker with her husband in Christ's vineyard. My son, would to God I could say the same of him as of his sister, was promised by his grandparents on his mother's side that if he would never again call me father or his mother mother, they would leave all their property to him, and thus far he has kept his promise. Now, if you're just coming into the story, this is a Jewish surgeon who has found his Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, that's ludicrous. That's impossible. That's I never heard of such a crazy thing. But it's true. And many like him have received the Lord themselves. If you were to but search the scriptures, you were to see that he has to be the Christ. The story continues, as he said, a year and 9 months after her conversion, my wife died. The desire of her heart previous to her death was to see her son, who resided about 7 minutes' walk from her house. I said again and again to him, begging of him to come and see his dying mother. One of the ministers of the city, along with his wife, personally saw my son and tried to persuade him to grant his dying mother's request. But his only reply was, curse her, let her die. She is no mother of mine. How could a person say such a thing? How could any religion that be of God, be it Judaism, cause such hatred against their own mother? On Thursday morning, the day of her death, my wife asked me to send for her as many members of the congregation where she worshipped as could come to be with her in her dying hour. At 10:30, she asked Mrs. Ryle, the minister's wife, who was a very dear friend of hers, to take her left hand and let all the ladies in the room join hands with her. I stood at the other side of the bed and took hold of the right hand, and the gentleman joined hands with me. And at my wife's request, we formed a circle, about 38 of us, and then we sang, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly while the near waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide. O, receive my soul at last. Very softly as we began to sing, thou, Christ, art all I want. More than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick, and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness, vile and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. My wife, in a feeble, though dear, clear voice, said, yes, it is all I want. It is all I have. Come, Lord Jesus, take me home. And she fell asleep. Well, what about it, listener? Charlie Colson, the soldier who had his leg and arm amputated by a Jewish surgeon, had no problem putting his faith and trust while he was dying in agony of pain. The Lord Jesus took him home to glory, to mansions prepared for him as God had promised. And then the Jewish surgeon's wife, who had come also to know Jesus and receive Jesus as her Lord and Savior, Messiah, also on her dying bed, had hope of eternal life. What about you? You might be a Jewish lawyer. You might be a Jewish doctor. You might be a Jewish dentist, chiropractor. You might be a politician, a Jew, a businessman, searching for the truth, knowing that your Judaism today cannot bring peace, nor can it bring the peace of God into your heart. All the rituals and the formalism and all the vain repetition of prayer cannot bring the peace of God. None of that can bring you in having a personal relationship with God Almighty. I mean, do you really know God? Do you really know Him personally? Can you call upon His name and know for sure He hears you? Well, Berit Chadashah, the New Covenant, says you can. For whosoever shall call upon Him shall be saved. Upon who? Upon the Lord Jesus as your Messiah, as your Lord. Call upon Him for forgiveness. Call upon Him for deliverance. from the flames of hell. Call upon him for mercy. Call upon him to receive eternal life. Call upon him as the true God who manifested himself in the flesh through the virgin birth. That's right, God manifests in the flesh. Oh, I know it's hard to understand. I know it's hard to comprehend. But it is true. As God, the God of Abraham, appeared to Abraham up there, Mount Moriah. As God appeared in the burning bush to Moses. As God who appeared to Jacob in Jacob's ladder. As God who appeared as one of the angels before Abraham. When the two angels had left to go to Sodom, the true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, appeared to Abraham. And Abraham bowed down and worshipped the Lord God. Jesus is his name. Will you receive him? He'll give you the faith, but come to him. Open your heart to him, and he will show you the way, the truth, and the life.
Keep his covenant and show with mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us then. Let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question. Is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.